Okay, let's start. Welcome, everyone. As Michael already started in his weekend, I will give the lecture today. The last time you ended with these two examples about top-down parsing, where you already saw what is LL1 parsing about. So we see in the first example one context-free grammar that is LL1 parsable, because when we see when we can see one input sign before, then we can decide which rule we have to expand. So for example, when we see the if, we know we have to expand this rule. Otherwise, when we see the while here, we have to expand this rule, and for the ID we are in the rule for E. But on the other hand, you already saw that there are grammars that are not LLK parsable for any K. For example, here, if you have these two rules starting with the if, so you can nest this if as long as you want, and you will never, so there is no K that is big enough so that you can decide between these two rules. So if you have a K, then you just need one more nesting, and then you can't decide. Okay, so we continue with the LL1 parsing, with the look ahead, and the question is how to build this look ahead. And therefore, we introduce the first one sets. So here you get the definition for language L, so a subset of our terminal language. We define the first one set of L as the union of the empty word when the empty word is contained in our language, and all terminals for which there is a word V in T star such that U V is in our language L. So we give an example here. So for this little grammar where we have S, where we have only two rules S to the empty word and S to ASB, we can of course list all the words derivable from S, which is the empty word, and then AB, AAB, B, and so on. And here you can of course see that the first set of S is the empty word and then just A. But of course, you see, we have to consider possibly infinitely many words to calculate the first one set, so that this nothing you can just do by listing all words that are derivable from one non-terminal and then check the first letter. So therefore, the question is, how can we calculate the first set? And before we are doing this, we note some arithmetics on this first operator. So the first operator is distributive with union and concatenation. This means for the union, first of the union of L1 and L2 is the same like the union of first L1 and then first of L2. And for the concatenation, we have the special case. So when we want to calculate the concatenation, when we want to calculate the first set of L1 concatenated with L2, we can concatenate first one of L1 with first one of L2, and afterwards have again calculate the first set of this. So, and therefore we, to shorten this, we introduce a new operator called the one concatenation, which is defined as follows. So when we have L1 and L2 singleton about our set of terminals and possibly the empty word, then the one concatenation of L1 and L2 is just L1 if the empty word is not contained in L1, and otherwise it is L1 without the empty word and the union unified with L2. So, and we know that if all rules of G are productive, then of course all sets all sets first 1 of A are non-empty. Okay, so how can we calculate the look-ahead sets when we have alpha, which is a word over the non-terminals and terminals, and for the first set of this alpha is just the first set of all the words over the terminal, over sets of terminal that are derivable from our alpha. So to calculate the first set, we introduce a new set called F epsilon, because we want to treat the empty word, the epsilon, separately. So this means that the first set of A is just the F set of A, and then we take the union with the empty word if the empty word is derivable from our non-terminal A. To do this, so how is our F epsilon defined? Therefore, we have to check additionally whether the empty word is derivable from a non-terminal X. So therefore, we introduce this empty of X, which is true if the empty word is derivable from X. And here we additionally note, so sometimes we will see sorry for that. So if we have a terminal symbol, for example A, then of course empty of A, so A is a terminal symbol, is false. Okay, and then we can define the F set of this is the right hand side of a rule as the union of all F sets of X X I if all X I to X J minus 1 are possibly empty, and xj is the first x that is possibly not empty, so where the empty word is not derivable from. Okay, so how can we calculate these epsilon-free first one sets? So we do this with an equality system. So for this equality system, we have the following rules. So if we have the F set from a terminal symbol A, then we just have the value A. And otherwise, if we have a rule like this, A to X1 Xm, then F of Xj is the subset of Fa if all xi from 1 to j minus 1 are possibly empty. So with this rule we get a number of inequalities, so that we have an inequality system, and the question then is how we could solve this inequality system. So but first let us consider the inequality system we get for our example grammar here. So it's easy to see that empty of E and T and F is false, and therefore we get the following inequalities. So FE is a subset of S prime, so this rule in fact is missing here, so we, as before, we just add this rule every time to a grammar. So and then for E, we have that FE is a subset of FE because of this rule. Additionally, we have that FT is a subset of FE because of this rule. Here we get FT is a subset of FT, and FF is a subset of FT. And from the last rules we get that the opening that the value of f is possibly is the opening bracket, the terminal name, and the terminal int. Okay, now we have such an inequality system, and the question is how to solve this inequality system. So we have a look on in general on such inequality systems. These systems are called pure unification problems and can be solved using graph algorithms. So here is a general example. So our domain here is the power set of A, B, and C, and we have the following inequalities, and from these inequalities we build up a graph. So a vertex now is labeled by just the number of the the number of the x. So here we have vertex I for xi, and the nodes are connected following the inequalities. So we have x0 is a subset of x1, and therefore we get an edge from 0 to 1. x3 is a subset of x1, therefore if we get this edge, x1 to x2 is this edge, x2 to x3 is this edge, and here we have the self loop. And additionally, we label our vertices by the values we already have here. So for x0 we have A, for x1 B, for x2 C, and for x3 also C. Okay, now we have this graph, and the question is how can we solve the inequality system using this graph? The graph we built is the variable dependency graph, and what we do now is we check for the strongly connected components in this graph. So the largest subgraphs where all vertices are connected. So in our example, we get the following two strongly connected components. So here, all the three vertices are connected. So you have a pass from each node to another node, and here this node is just connected in this direction. So there is no way back. Therefore, we just have the single node in one component. So and then we build for each strongly connected component, we build the value of this component by the smallest upper bound. So as we saw before, so here for the vertices we have B, C, and C. So therefore we get the value B and C. And here for this component we only have the A. So, but here is the special case that there is an incoming edge. So, therefore, we also have to consider the A from here, and therefore we also get A for this strongly connected components. And these values now are the solution of our inequality system. And this is how we can calculate our look-ahead sets. So from our example before, I wrote down our inequality system from before. So therefore we get this dependency graph, and we can see the strongly connected components. So each node just builds a strongly connected component. So it looks like this, and then of course we can see for F we have the values written here, and because we have all these edges from F to T, from T to E, and from E to S prime. Therefore, all our components get the values of the opening bracket, int, and name. So these are the first one sets of the non-terminals of our example grammar. Okay, how does this help in our pushdown automaton? So, as you consider the last time, we already saw that we have conflicts between these two rules and these two rules. So, because you can't decide whether you, which rule you have to expand. So do you have to expand S to the empty word, or do you have to expand S to A as B? So this is for both conflicts, this is the question you have to answer. So how does this look like? So what we want in our LL1 parser is we want such a table so that you know when you have when you are about to expand the rule for S, you know, okay, when the next item, the next input item I see is the dollar sign, then I have to pick the rule, for example 1, so this rule, or 0 or 1. And you want to know this for all these, for all three terminal symbols you potentially see next in your input. So, how does the derivation look like when you are in such a situation? So, for example, here you see the derivation tree when you expand S to the rule 1 to A, this in fact should be S, to A as B. And here you see when you expand S to the empty word. So now the question is, in this situation you want to decide which rule you choose by the first set of the remaining input. So, and of course here the remaining input is gamma beta 1 to beta 0, and here it's the same, but you see now it's not enough to know how the input gamma starts, because when gamma is the empty word, then we also need to consider beta, and of course beta also could be the empty word, and then we have to consider beta 1 and so on. So therefore, we do not need only the first one sets, we also need so-called follow sets. Because, so how can we calculate the first one set of this word? So we would need to consider first one of gamma, first one of beta, and use the one concatenation in between, and therefore now we introduce the follow operator, which is defined as follows. Follow of B is the first set of beta to beta 0 in this example, and in general we again calculate the follow sets using an inequality system, which is calculated as follows. So we always have the empty word as a subset of follow S, and then when the terminal B arises on the right hand side of a rule, and all x1 to xj minus 1 are potentially empty, then the F set of xj is a subset of follow B. And when all following x1 to xm, all non-terminals that are on the right of B and on the right-hand side of rule could be empty, then we additionally have to consider what follows after A. So therefore follow of A then is a subset of follow B. Okay. Using this, so if we now have the first set and the follow set, we can build our look-ahead table as follows. For each non-terminal, with the rule for each non-terminal B, with the rule B to gamma, which is labeled as the ICE rule, we have as look ahead the word, or in this case the letter W. If W is in the first set of gamma, one concatenated with the follow set of beta. Let's consider an example, therefore. Yes, we have again this grammar. And the first set of S is the empty word and A, as we already know. And the follow set of S is B and the dollar sign. So therefore, we can calculate for our rule 0, first one of the look ahead here is then, so the entry of our look ahead table is then for the rule 0, B and the dollar sign, and for our second rule labeled by 1, the look ahead, the entry. This means we can build our look ahead table as follows. So when we see the dollar sign, we took rule 0. If we see A, we take rule 1. And if we see B, we take rule 0. So this means now in this situation where the question is, okay, should we expand this rule or that rule? We know that when we see the dollar sign, we take the first rule. When we see an A, we take the second rule, and we see the B, then we take the first rule. So, and this is how we can deterministically parse this grammar with an LL1 parser. Okay. Still, as we talked about in the beginning, there are many grammars that are not LLK parsable. And the reason for that is that some grammars are left recursive, and a grammar is called left recursive if it is of the following form. So we have that A, from A we can derive A beta, and so beta is some word over the terminal and non-terminal system, so that we A directly derives again to A. So for example here we see E to E directly T to T, so this grammar is definitely left recursive. And what we can show is that a grammar that is left recursive is not LLK parsable for any k. So how can you prove this? Without laws of generality, we assume that we have a rule A to AB and A to alpha, and the non-terminal A is of course reachable from our start terminal S. So the proof is by contradiction, so therefore we assume that G is LLK parsable. What means that the first K set of A, beta to the N, gamma, and first K of alpha, beta to N plus 1, gamma, so the cut of these two sets is the empty set. So because this is This is our definition for LLK parsable grammars. So let's have a look how a derivation tree would like. So we have n times used n times the first rule for A, so therefore we have here n times B. So this is for A, beta, n. So this is for the first set, and for the second set we derived the first rule of A one times more, so here we have one additional beta, and now here alpha. So, but then okay, so then we have a case distinction. So how could these how could better look like? So in the case that beta is just the empty word, then we have here first k of alpha gamma and first k of alpha gamma. So, and of course we don't get the empty set here, but also in the other case, so assume that beta is some word w which is not the empty word, then still we have first k of alpha w to the k gamma and first k of alpha w k plus 1 gamma. And so if you now look at the first k letters of these two words, these are definitely the same, so therefore the set we get here is not empty, and therefore we get our contradiction, which show that our assumption that G is LLK parsable is wrong. Okay. In fact, this was much faster than I expected. So, so the deal with Michael was that I introduced the first and the follow sets, and I did not prepare for the remaining slides. Therefore, I don't think that I would present it understandable. Yes. So example for what? Sorry.
Yeah, just like compilating first sets and sets.
So in fact, you will do this in the exercise. Have some. So yeah, but in fact, I mean, you will see different grammars in the tutorial, where you build the first and the follow sets. So I have no other grammar by hand. So therefore, I would say that we are already finished for today, even if this was really short. So on Monday there's public holiday, so therefore there won't be a tutorial. So the next tutorial is next Thursday. So, and this is somehow the tutorial that would be today, because today it was cancelled. Okay, have a nice afternoon.